Conside of Font. Lafondre away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the Umpire Rolls podcast, supported by Blue Collar Street Food. Well, it was definitely an eventful match yesterday at Cheltenham Town, a 2-2, and up there with probably one of the worst halves of football that we've ever seen from Reading FC, but we managed to not be losing at halftime. Very, very, very odd game of League One football, but to help me talk through it, I've been joined by James Earnshaw from the Reading Chronicle. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Paul. Yep, looking forward to New Year and all the celebrations. And then, you know, 2024, it surely can't be as worse as 2023.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, don't even want to think about that. But let's not go too deeply into that. But if you can face a review listening to a podcast about 2023, we've put a couple of episodes out about it. You may need a stiff drink with it because I'm sorry, but there is no bright side to it. We've also been joined by Matt Lansley. How you doing, Matt?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Yeah. Content with a point. Content with the point yesterday.
Yeah, definitely. And you also learned what a Frankfurter was in the concourse, didn't you? So it's all wins, isn't it?
I did. Somehow I'd been living under a rock for 26 years. It's no surprise to people that know me, seemingly. But yeah, props to the Frankfurter at the stadium. It was quite good. I liked it.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, well, this is also the same day when I also thought I'd locked myself out of my house. My wife was asleep, and I actually realised when I stood up and got out of the car that the keys were in my pocket. So this is what happens when you get to my age. So let's move on to what
happened. It was an eventful day. It was an eventful day.
It was indeed. So there's only one change to the lineup. Sam Smith coming in for Kelvin. Kind of expected that one. But oh my God, Cheltenham absolutely dominated us, James, didn't they? In the first 44 minutes, it was one-way traffic, wasn't it?
Yeah. You mentioned it earlier. I think it's probably the worst half I've ever seen from my Reading team. Just couldn't get to grips at all. Didn't seem interested in playing football. We'd just hoof it up to Sam Smith, they'd win it in the air and just come straight at us again. We got, you know, quite fortunate on a few occasions, and David Button was called into action on quite a few occasions, but I mean, it was a matter of time before the goal came, and I don't think it was too surprising when a second one followed pretty soon after. But you know, I guess you've got to credit the players. They, you know, realise that they have feet and they have a midfield and they are able to play through it, and Cheltenham just couldn't cope with us when we actually decided to play football. You know, the quality of the players shone through, and for all of about 90 seconds we proved that we were the better team overall in terms of squads, and managed to sort it out and make sure we weren't losing at half time, which was the big thing.
Yeah, I mean, you did put a tweet out, something along the lines of, it just shows how bad League One is, the fact that we're not losing at half time, because it was ridiculous, because just 90 seconds of quality, that's all it took from us, Matt, wasn't it? I mean, I don't know where that came from, those moments, and we will go into the Cheltenham goals, don't worry, but just dumbstruck when we managed to get those two goals, weren't we? It was insane. I don't know how you must feel as a Cheltenham fan, the fact that you've thrown that away.
Probably quite pissed off. I mean, yeah, like, you know, because that we had no right really to be in that half. I mean, for kind of, I guess you've got to give Cheltenham a lot of props for kind of the way that they actually set up and played. And they're not as bad of a team, I think, as a lot of people maybe wanted to think or wanted to make out before the game. You know, you look at them over the last 10 games, and especially since Clark's come into Cheltenham, they've actually been really solid and kind of actually quite mid-table. They've kind of mirrored what Reading have been like actually in like the last 10 games. You know, Reading have been a lot more improved since the start of the season, kind of mid-table and in the form table over the last 5-10 games. It really showed kind of, you know, the improvement from Cheltenham from their first game against us and last night was, you know, so vast. You know, Cheltenham back in, when was it, August, were hopeless. You know, last night they really looked like they had a plan. I think they probably went for it a bit too much though yesterday, because towards the end of the first half they should have, and again, it might be negative really to think this, but they should have probably just sat back and just made sure they got in at halftime at 2-0, because Dave, who was with us, was saying just get a goal back somehow before half time, Reading, and then it's a different second half, you're back in this game. And you know, they conceded twice, you know, really from as James said, really actually just starting to exploit the midfield, because there was quite a bit of space between their back three and Cheltenham's midfield. You know, there was quite a bit of a chasm there, which we were able to actually find in the end when we weren't hoofing it up. You know, and we were able to get two goals back, one from a corner that came from a counter-attack exploiting that space, and the second being able to shift it wide out to wing and getting the ball in.
Yeah, definitely. As you said, over the last 10 games, Cheltenham have been very similar to us. If you look at the form table over that period, they've been ninth and we'd be 10th. So there's not much in it. Lewis Wing also described the first 40 minutes as awful. I mean, there's lots of words for it. Take your choice. Take your pick on that one. There's lots of ways you could sum it up. But I think that's a completely fair summary. But if it wasn't for David Burton, James, he made a fantastic early save from Sercom. Well, he really should have scored. I mean, I don't know how he managed to hit it almost straight to the goalie. I thought Burton had a really good game. We can come on to the kicking, but actual saves, he did well.
Yeah, he made three or four crucial saves before they got their first goal. And yeah, I think it's incredibly harsh to label it as an own goal for Button. I think the shame should lie solely on Amadou Mbengue's shoulders for that one. But yeah, you know, he did his job, made some good saves, and as you touched on there, is his distribution requires some improvement. But ultimately, your job is to stop shots, and you know, he's come under for a little bit of stick throughout the season, but you know, I think he proved his worth last night alone. Yeah, made some good saves and kind of kept us in the game for the first half.
Yeah, they absolutely butchered us down that right-hand side. If you looked at a heat map, 47% of their action down there was down their right-hand side, and you could see it. They were just killing us, and ultimately it ended up with a goal with Long, who was obviously previously at Red, not Shane Long, a different one, but crosses it in. Sercom takes it well, really, doesn't he? Gets maybe a little bit lucky, goes through Reading players' luck, but you'd have to say Cheltenham fully deserved that goal. You'd have to be so one-eyed not to think that, Matt, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you know, it was, well, to say it was coming would almost be wrong, I feel. You know, they fully deserved it before then. Button had saved, you know, a couple of one-on-ones was fantastic before then. And it was a neat little goal, you know, a nice little cross-field pass, little 1-2 into the byline, a little cutback and a simple tap-in. It's one of those goals which you watch, and when it's your team, you think that's actually quite slick, you know. It was a nice goal. But yeah, like, I mean, when you look at the defending, you know, Holmes, well, you'd probably look more at Craig kind of in the midfield, because the runners come from deeper. He's not kind of picked him up, and when Craig and Holmes have kind of realised, you know, there's a man free in the box, they both try to dart out and both kind of miss the ball, you know. But I think, you know, Craig probably needs to do a bit better there and kind of hold his man. But I mean, it was more than warranted at that point to be 1-0 down.
We now have to move on to the comical second goal, which, yeah, I've seen some bad goals conceded by us over the last few years. And just in general, you know, you always concede comical goals. This has to be up there in the top two or three, if not the worst goal we've ever conceded, or at least worst own goal. I mean, he's got completely free in the area. He gets a shot. David Button never makes another good save, really. And then Mbengue just for some reason thinks, no, I'm going to absolutely shank this. There's no need. You don't need to that. He's hit the complete panic button. He's just completely lost his mind, James. And when it went in, it was utter shock from the away end where we all were. It's like, what the fuck has he done there?
Yeah, I actually burst out laughing when it went in. It's one of those ones that you've got to laugh or cry, really, when it first goes in. I mean, then the realisation hits that you're 2-0 down to Cheltenham. But the goal itself was just one of those moments. It was just, my God, you know, that's kind of sums up just how bad we've been in this half. Everything that can go wrong goes wrong. Don't think it's quite as bad as the, was it Gunter own goal or the one against the Burton 500 game? When Manone, from the halfway line where it bounced off someone and Manone...
No, that was Manone not being able to, or well, seemingly having nothing for hands and it just going through. Like that was a dreadful goal, but this, I think, tops that for me.
Yesterday was funnier.
I think this one was funnier. It was similar. It's like, on the old question of sport, what happens next? And you think, no, no, he can't take that option. That's option Z. It's like, but I would remind him of the goal that we conceded at Brentford years ago, and Aaron Cole was playing, and I think two Reading players fell over, and the striker, I cannot remember the name of the striker now for Brentford, just slid it away. And even he fell over once as well before he put it away. And he actually had a good career. But you just think, oh, yeah, is it going to be one of those horrible nights when we end up losing 3 or 4 nil? But credit to the team, Matt. They showed spirit again, didn't they? I mean, none of us there thought this was going to happen. But all of a sudden, 45th minute, we just thought, yeah, hang on. Let's try and pass the ball. Let's try and do some interesting things with it, create some patterns and not just kick it long all the time continuously. Oh, look what's happened. We've got a goal. How does that happen?
Yeah, well, it's like I say, you know, that there was lots of actual space kind of actually in between the midfield or the Cheltenham midfield and their defence, which, you know, we were just bypassing every single time. I mean, you know, kind of for as good as Holmes was yesterday, kind of defensively, he was a bit of a problem on that side because it was him and Abbey that just kept, you know, just lumping it up. And I know that was, it might have been part of the game plan that was said, but I mean, it was, you know, it was just killing us because every single time we got the ball, Cheltenham then just come back at us with an even better long ball and more being more physical up front, winning the second balls, pressing, you know, and we just couldn't deal with it. You know, and like you say, it kind of got to the point. I mean, someone around me, I think it was a road down to my right. I think he said to his friends it was with, you know, right, 3-0 and we can be off here, you know, and, you know, I think everyone kind of expected that because, you know, with how the game was going, like you say, I couldn't see a way that, you know, we could get back in it, you know, to be honest, because I was just hoping that we get to half time and it still be 2-0, you know, because it could have easily been so much more. It could have been 3-4-0 at half time. That wouldn't have been unfair, really. But I mean, I almost think it was probably one of the first times we actually exploited that space. We were able to get up the pitch and we were able to get a corner, you know. And ironically, we've been dreadful at corners this year. I'm not even sure if we've actually scored from a corner so far.
Definitely
this year.
One. I think we got two. I think we got Kelvin against Stevenage, and I think there was another one fairly recently. Yes. Can you assist us on that, James? I mean, you are the
I can't. It can't be many because I got a corner and kind of wrote it off as just, okay, he's going to catch it and then bobble it out. And I'd already started to turn away and look down the other end of the pitch for what player might score an own goal this time.
There's always a chance with Luke Southwood in goal that he might drop it, James.
That's exactly what I was about to say. You know, if there's one person we can rely on to be dreadful coming for crosses, or he didn't even drop it. You know, he can't even leave his line. You know, we think David Button is bad, kind of trying to come and claim balls and punch. Luke Southwood's different level. He is dreadful, utterly dreadful. You know, and I mean, this header comes from about all of 3 yards, I think. You know, how a goalkeeper can't come and claim that or at least try and get something on it. He doesn't even try, you know. And at that point, Dorset gets it. And, you know, it's a good corner in it. And there was a clear plan as well from Reading because every single corner, especially we got in the second half, we were just crowding Southwood. You know, Holmes was right on him. Holmes probably knows him, you know, from back in academy days and everything. And we were just kind of putting that ball onto the edge of the 6-yard box pretty much or kind of around the area and just trying to cause problems. But I mean, you know, we're throwing stick out and kind of saying how bad we were in that first half. What a moment for Dorset. You know, first senior goal, he's come in, he's been thrown in a bit at the deep end, you know, out at left back, not his natural position. Brilliant moment for him to kind of get a goal and kind of a really crucial goal kind of in that game, because, you know, as we were saying earlier, you know, Dave said, get a goal back before halftime and it changes the game. He's got a number of players around him, knocks it home nicely and kind of puts it into the corner. So, and allows a bit of flurry of action really for Reading to occur. So really, really well done to Dorset.
Yeah, there was also a moment. I agree, total credit to Dorset. I think he's been good in his position. You have to put perspective, like you said, it's not his natural position at all. But there was a little moment in the second half when he was stood in front of the away end and there was a little break in play. Cheltenham doing that again. Fair play. You know, it's what they do. And the crowd was singing, he's one of our own. Daryl Dawson is one I've read. And he tried not to react. He really tried not to react, but he couldn't help but look around and give a little smile. And he's like, you know, I shouldn't do this. It's during the game. But why not? Credit to him. But also, Matt couldn't go for David Burton, so he went for an ex-Reading goalie today on the podcast. It's quite reassuring, isn't it?
We have a tendency of having bad goalkeepers. I've not come for David Burton today. I'm surprised you're not come for me. He was brilliant last night, and long may it continue, you know, for David Burton. Yeah, I mean, James saying about...
keeps the equilibrium on the pod, Matt. You know, if you can't go for one that's actually here, just go for one that used to be here. Yep.
Well, I'm glad that he's not here because he was dreadful with us, so...
Well, he sent his love as well to you. So, James, it was half time almost, but then Lewis Ping, he's already set up one with his corner. He decides to whip in a fantastic cross here. I mean, the whip and the accuracy here is absolute perfection, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I was going to claim him with the bloody goal. I mean, I put down wing originally, and so did the Reading media next to me, because from where we were stood, couldn't even see Mukairu there. He was hiding behind sort of goal side of the defender. But yeah, just ripples the bottom of the net, and suddenly just realise, bloody hell, what the hell has happened here? You know, we're suddenly not losing anymore. And you think, Christ, you know, got away with one there. Wing's crucial. Crucial when he plays well, Reading play well. He's one of the best midfielders in the league. And it's why it was so infuriating to not get anything out of him in the first half, really. You know, we just kind of evaded the midfield totally and decided to, you know, aim for Smith, who couldn't hold off three defenders all the time. But yeah, you know, it's no surprise that when he gets a bit of time on the ball and he can pick something out, that suddenly a goal comes out at the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, as we said earlier, Cheltenham must be absolutely... I mean, the players and fans must be absolutely gutted. I mean... they've managed to get the lead. They've managed to get the advantage of one of the most comical own goals you'll ever see. And they're still not winning. At this point, you've got to question your choices, haven't you? I mean, you're just thinking, oh, I mean, yeah, it is a really tough one. Kind of like thinking how you deal with that half time. I was thinking, do we go for it? Do we sit on it? Because for me, last night was a must not lose, but yeah, it would have been fantastic to pick up the 3 points there, James, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would have been big, obviously, for the confidence. But I think the way the players came back would have given them just as much confidence. And you keep the unbeaten run ticking over. You know, you've proved in your performance, you know, that you're capable of turning games around. It's great for the mentality. And, you know, providing you go and win against Exeter on Monday, then I think it's been a very good festive period. More points than I expected us to have picked up. Still in touching distance, obviously, with safety, which is always important. And just sort of keeps the morale going. You know, all away games have been difficult. But to have gone three away games unbeaten after going 378 days with only picking up 1 point, you know, things are slowly turning around.
Yeah, and repeatedly coming from positions when we're behind. Obviously, ideally, you don't want that to happen, but this is the reality of where we are. And if, which is a massive if, I mean, no way taking the game against Exeter tries to quickly remember the day of the week on Monday as a definite 3 points, that would be 8 points from 4 games over the festive period. I mean, I think we would have to be happy with that, Matt, wouldn't we, really? I mean, I don't think we can really be too downbeat on that.
Yeah, it's a big if, obviously, you know, because there's still, you know, 90 minutes of football to be played. But I think even when you take out, you know, the Exeter game, I don't think it's fair to say that, you know, if we beat Exeter, then it's a good point at Cheltenham. It was a good point anyway. You know, the fact that we're able to come from behind and actually, you know, stay in a game, which it's cliche to say, I know, but kind of like, you know, a couple of months back, you know, they could have capitulated at that point. You know, they never looked like coming back from behind. But now, you know, we've actually had two away games now on the bounce where we've come back from behind and we've got a really solid point. I don't think, you know, we need to win against Exeter to say that Cheltenham was a good point. This has been a really good point against Cheltenham regardless. I think a good team that's playing well and on a good run of form. You know, so I think you can take it in isolation and say that, you know, that's a game which we were really up against it. We needed to find ways to scrap out draws and to, you know, get points on the board when we've not played our best. You know, last night was not our best by quite some way. You know, the players know that, the fans know that, but they're able to get a point. And kind of as we said on the way back, Paul, you know, as you know, Brian McDermott always used to say, if you can't win the game, just don't lose it, you know. And now they're, you know, unbeaten, what, in six, you know, they've had four games away from home where you know, we're unbeaten now. You know, that was unheard of at the start of the year, you know, when we were, well, not the start of the year, and or start of the season at least, you know, when we're what, 12, 13 games, like losses on the bounce, you know. So, yeah, for me, I don't think, you know, you have to say that we need to win on Monday for Charlton to be a good point.
Yeah. Also, I'm going to throw back now to the own goal. And question here from Liam Hughes. Was that the most embarrassing goal we've ever conceded? Worse than Al Habsi versus Man United? Oh, my God, I've forgotten that one.
Oh, my word. Yes. Oh, God, that was... I think that one probably gets a pass because it's the FA Cup and it's against United and we weren't going to win anyway and all that malarkey.
It was still bad, though.
It was dreadful. No, it was comical. It's funny because you could probably look at Reading over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years and just create a reel of these brilliantly obscene goals, right? But for me, I think it tops it because, like, I think it's more just Mbenge just doesn't even need to smash it. He doesn't need to smash it. He can almost just run out with it or even pass it out. And instead he decides to, like, half smash it, half pass it. Without really any panic, he's not really swinging his leg frantically. It's just anywhere but there, Amadou. Yeah, you know, it was a shame for him yesterday because, you know, he's been okay of late. Yesterday he was just a car crash, though. He was an absolute car crash.
Yeah, we got a question on that one from Cameron. So James, this one from Cameron here says, what has happened to Mbenge? Absolute shadow of the player last season. What do you think it is that's going on there? Because he was bad yesterday and he hasn't been good all season, really.
Yeah, I don't think right-back's his best position. He played centre-back quite a bit last year under Paul Ince. And his pace, he sort of did what Nelson Abbey is now doing, and that his pace is sort of bailing out the defenders with his pace and his strength around the back. He's covering. I don't think he's in his best position, but needs must at the minute. I'm sure Yeardon will come straight back in eventually when he's fit. And Mbenge will be a good player to sort of bring on. Even, I mean, they've even tried him in midfield, haven't they, this season in a few cup games and stuff. So, I mean, I don't think anyone's quite sure on what his best position is. But everyone's entitled to a dip in form, I guess. You know, we keep forgetting he's still relatively young as well. I think he's only, what, 23, I think. We forget sort of because he didn't come through the ranks that he's still quite young. He's always been quite erratic. I mean, even last season, that's what we kind of loved about him, was he kind of ran around like a bull in a china shop. And sort of slide into these ludicrous tackles that when they come off look amazing, but otherwise look like GBH if they don't come off. So, yeah, I mean, you know, he's obviously on a bit of a dip, but he's another one of that back line that's sort of out of position and trying to make do. I mean, by the end of the game, he didn't have a single fullback on the pitch when Bindon came on in his place.
I think, to be fair, he's been fine of late. He's not been amazing. He's not been dreadful. But I think the last few games he's been okay. Last night was just shocking, though. I mean, like, you know, at halftime, I mean, I almost think he might, well, on another day he could have been sent off in that first half because he was already on a yellow, and there was a foul that was right in front of us on the side of the pitch, where he just holds he rugby tackled a player to the ground, and when you're on a yellow card, that's one of those which, you know, you just cannot be, like, what he was thinking there, I do not know. Some might say, oh, it might be a soft red card to get, or a second yellow to get, you know. But if he got a second yellow there, I really couldn't have put much of an argument as to why he shouldn't have. I was glad when he got taken off because he was a red card waiting to happen yesterday.
He's had a rough couple of games. Boyce Clark of Peterborough, who is one of the best players in the league and probably set for the championship, if not in January, in the summer, regardless of if Peterborough go up. And then he's also had constant wing play, crosses and crosses, always attacking him in the game last night. So, yeah, let's wait and see. So I'd love to talk more about the second half, but I'll be quite frank, not a lot happened. I mean, there was a shot from Lewis Wing, which Luke Southwood made it look like it was a Roberto Carlos effort. if you remember, the Brazil against France in the warm-up for 1998 World Cup. But
he loves a save for the cameras, though, didn't he, Southwood?
Let's not start on this. You could do this goalkeeper slander off the pod. Yeah? Just
have to get that last one in.
But, I mean, until the last few minutes, James, when I was very, very, very nervous when Cheltenham actually didn't have a clear shot. They did have an opportunity, actually, when they had the shot across the goal. But with the actual last two crosses from the corners, I don't think they actually had a chance at all. But it was horrendous watching it.
Yeah, well, they had that one where the substitute cut in and curled one just sort of the wrong side of the post. And I thought, oh, God, that's it. And then they had the free kick in the last minute of stoppage time. And I thought, oh, God, here it comes. Then they got a corner from that free kick. And I thought, right, that really is going to be it, with it being a corner. So I didn't actually write the end of my match report until after the whistle. Normally, I start it on about 75 minutes. But I just didn't feel comfortable that the game was going to end at 2-2. So thankfully, it did. And yeah, I mean, I think they're slowly getting better at set pieces. I mean, they always make a big deal when they concede set pieces because normally they concede from them. But I think last few weeks they're slowly getting the gist of it. And, you know, I'd like to think going into the last few minutes we can soon be a bit more relaxed that, you know, maybe they've got this. But then they keep doing first half performances like they did in the first half where they're all at sea and suddenly you realise maybe they haven't quite got it as much as we think they might.
No, I think you're right there. I think they're still capable of combustion at some point. And if they play the wrong team, I think it could all go wrong very quickly. Mm-hmm. But then I also think, as you said, James, in your tweet, in League One, you basically need very little to get into a game, don't you? You don't need an amazing amount of ability to win many games. It's just cutting out the mistakes. And yeah, we made a lot last night, but I actually think Cheltenham played quite well. You know, they know what they were doing. They had a strategy and they were very good at it. So credit to them, really.
I think looking at the second half as well, I mean, you know, we said earlier in the pod about kind of how we want, or well, what Sellers would have wanted to do at halftime. I think the second half was probably fine for Reading, because given how good Cheltenham were in the second half, you just needed to kind of just really solidify, because Cheltenham ran us ragged for you know, all of 44 minutes, pretty much, you know. So the fact that we were able to, you know, kind of, again, don't want to sound too negative, but kind of button down the hatches a bit and actually just make sure we can get through this second half. And there was a few flurries of play, you know, around where Wing had that free kick, and kind of the game calmed a bit kind of when I think it was Southwood, wasn't it, kind of went down after a goal kick, you know, because, you know, we had about a 10-15 minute spell of possession there where kind of we were actually looking quite good and like we were actually maybe going to go on and get another goal here. But, you know, they were able to come through, you know, the second half quite calmly, quite nicely, pick up a good point on the road and survive one of those late scares, you know. I'm not sure how many more of those I can take, because seemingly every single game we're having bits like that. I mean, we had one at the end of Oxford, at the end of the Oxford game. I mean, bless him, poor Alex couldn't even watch the last free kick and corner, I think. As you said, James, it was almost like it was the never-ending game at that point. I think the free kick was at like 95th minute, or 95, 30 or so, and then the corner was at like nearly 97 minutes. Oh, we'd have conceded there. I don't even want to think of that.
Let's be honest, we're all waiting for that sickening sound from the Cheltenham end, weren't we? Mm. You know, we don't want to, but we're just so relieved when it doesn't happen.
I'm waiting for the one where we get one up our end, though, because we've not had it.
I know. That's what you want, isn't it? I mean, imagine if we score in the last minute, it'd be like, finally, humanity has reached a peak. We have managed to get a goal in the last minute, but life doesn't work like that. So we'll have the game coming up against Exeter City. Matt will be recording a preview for that later. But James, let's get your prediction on this one, and I'll do mine as well. I'm going to say 2-1 to Reading. What are you going to say?
I'm going to go 1-0. I think we're going to nick it just, hopefully in the last minute, just get a bit more of that feel-good factor. But to be honest, I don't really care how we play. We could play as bad as we did for the whole game, to be honest, as long as we win it off someone, you know, whatever, and it goes in the back of the net and we win. I don't really care. You know, something to please all of our sore heads after probably a heavy one tomorrow night.
Yes, Yes, I'm already scared of this. Well, I'm going to feel when I'm at the Select Car Leasing Stadium, but we will see. Let's hope we get another 3 points. Thanks for listening. If you have enjoyed the podcast or efforts this year, give us a 5-star review. Thanks a lot for listening. Cheers.